the stuff that dreams are made of.
And we had to do in order to accumulate the education that we have.
Correct.
Most people cannot withstand that.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that, like, the average person walking down the street standing in front of a dissertation board? Like, that's it's nerve-wracking. So, I mean, I think a lot of people can't see themselves doing something that grand. I think that being in front of a dissertation board would rattle even the best of people.
I like how aspirational you are, because you're like, dissertation. I'm like, average person can't pay their water bill without a late notice.
Well, there's that.
So to get up, right? So
yeah.
To get all the way up there.
And I think that's the reason why you have that type of trouble, is because a lot of times people of above average intelligence are exposed to the insecurities of the average person.
Yes.
So a lot of times, and this is what I told one person who once called me a narcissist. And it, ironically enough, it was a woman. And I said, well, I am only a narcissist in front of your insecurities. So it's one of those things where, because people have a hard time looking at themselves objectively, mm-hmm. how can you expect them to look at somebody else objectively?
Well, also, you invoke every other bad experience they've had, right?
Exactly.
So, for example, let's take it out of intelligence. If you
sure.
say you had an experience with an attractive member of the opposite sex and they broke your heart, your assumption is every other attractive person is going to break your heart, which is why your friends tell you to date ugly women.
Yeah.
Save you from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Correct.
Rather than
Correct.
Saying maybe you should be looking at the character within you that is attracted to the bad character within them and making sure you're setting up better systems. So I think what it is people are intimidated by that level of what they call intelligentsia.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, well, you bullied me with that. So
right.
let me go the other way.
Right.
And to be fair, the nerds get bullied all the time in school, and so when they get to a place of power, they become just as bad.
Oh, and that, there is no question
about
that.
All you have to do is play online video games to know that. You know
there is no question about that.
Welcome back. It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you.
Without a dope beat to step to.
Dust yourself off and try again. We are the world's greatest MMA podcast, talking about wellness, urban culture, diversity, mental health, and applications of MMA tactics to improving your life. Round Zero, brought to you by Cage Against the Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
It is December 2018. So much has happened. So much to talk about since we are last here. If you don't remember, I am the Sweet MBA. I am joined here by my good training partner,
Brett the Estimator.
And my other training partner,
the doctor, J.K. Ockhands.
We're in good hands. You got some jiu-jitsu. You got some taekwondo. You got some wrestling. You got some Sancho.
And judo. Don't forget
judo.
You got
some judo. You're in good hands. So much has happened. We did not cover the last UFC 230 because we had a lot going on.
231.
I don't know if you guys were aware of this out in TV land. Our state was on fire.
Yes, and the air was bad.
The air was very bad, and most of us were battling not the flu, but flu-like symptoms because the air quality was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing that together, plus coming so close with Thanksgiving, it's hard to get everybody together. Dr. Ockhands was a little bit under the weather. We was worried about you, but we're so glad to see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So
it's good to be
you.
Back, man.
It's good to be back. Man. You look good.
You look
Thank
good.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. Look good, boy. Look good.
It's good to be back, man.
So much has happened since that time. We now have an official new women's flyweight champion.
Yes, we do.
In the name of Valentina
Shevchenko.
Right. And she is, what a mama name of Shevchenko. Incredible display, has made it happen. I think it's going to rattle the cages and change that division.
She absolutely took Joanna Jędrzejczyk apart.
Clearly. And what I really still love, and I'm still trying to figure out how to do, is that sidekick where she just continues to just put it at your chest and bring it right back, where she's just like, you know, it's just as simple as like taking, I don't know, like.
Are you talking about the spinning sidekick?
Any of them. She just kept it. It was just like at any time, like, you know, I could put my toes on your chin, right? You know, we're done here, right? I'm not going to knock you out in front of this crowd.
The second time she actually caught, you know, Jacek off guard and put it in her chin.
Yeah. And basically hinted, you know, I'm not going to knock you out because I respect you, but, you know, this is my belt, my division.
Right.
So that was great. Then we had a showing.
Oh, speaking of which, can I just interject one thing?
Yes.
It was good to finally see Yo Jacek with her mouth closed.
Yes.
Oh, thank she was you. Humble and all yeah. the thank you. Leading
but
up
there,
to
there
it.
Wasn't yeah. much she could say. She knew she had lost to this woman twice. She knew she was going to lose.
It didn't stop her from talking trash when she lost to Rose Namajunas twice.
Well, of course, in her mind, she didn't lose. But I think this was very clear cut. She went it. This was not a close decision she could talk about. Well, speaking of non-close decisions, can we talk about the boxing of Max Holloway for a moment?
Ooh, it was brutal. It was brutal.
It was very touching in a way.
Record setting, right?
It was record setting. It was, I think, what was it? 300 significant strikes, 157 of them in the fourth round. And it was one part.
Whatever that means. I still don't know what the hell a significant strike actually is. And I'm a numbers guy, and I still don't know what the
it's
hell
like,
it means.
It's like an assist in NBA, right? You don't really know what an assist really
is. Well, I know what an assist is. But sometimes assist like, is clear.
Like off the backboard. Sometimes it's subjective, right?
Assists are not subjective. Significant strikes, I still don't know what the
I
hell
have
that
a criteria
means.
For it. I'm fairly certain people who do score do not.
That is definitely true.
But I also am sure if I grab the average person who's scoring a UFC fight and said, can you tell me what a Kimura is? I'm not going to get an answer. If I ask, could you tell me what a hook is? I'm not going to get an answer.
Yeah, well, so there's that.
What made Max Holloway incredible was it was like watching the rebirth of BJ Penn with the boxing of a Diaz brother. And then the wrestling integration of Cormier.
It's really interesting. It's interesting that you say that because I always thought that at one point BJ Penn was the best boxer in mixed martial arts.
Yes, at his time.
And so did Freddie Roach. Freddie Roach thought that too.
At his time, absolutely.
Yeah. It's now.
I mean, that's why he was
the
prodigy,
Diaz,
the amount of time he spent training and the amount of success he had.
Right.
Right. 2 years in, 8 years dominance, right? Any division. You're like, whoa, how do you do this? Especially with jiu-jitsu, right? It's unheard of.
Right, and now he's back.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Max Holloway was the only Hawaiian I was going to talk about tonight. I'm not talking about any other ones.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, two prelims. We're here tonight to talk about UFC 231, which is John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson 2. I have plenty of dirty, evil... Hateristic things to say about this, but I'll save it for the co-main event. We wanted to pick, as usual, two fights from the early prelims you guys should tune in for, and then we'll take you through to the main card, and then we'll finish up with the co-main event and the main event. So, Dr. Atkins, you haven't been here in a while. What's one fight you're really excited about? For the prelims.
Definitely Douglas Silva de Andrade versus Peter Yan.
Yes.
Silva de Andrade is possibly the most brutal striker to come across the UFC, in my opinion, since Edson Barbosa.
He also, speaking of which, God.
Yeah.
Man.
So, I mean,
he did to my boy Dan last week. That was really hard to watch.
Yeah.
Good comeback.
Man, I mean, it just showed the character of what it is to be a Kiwi. He was just like, I'm not going to quit. You're going to have to kill me. And he did.
He's hit him with everything.
And he just kept kicking him in the stomach. He was like, yeah, that's fine. You'll have to cut me in half. What's scary about Douglas is a couple of things, right? So, his physique looks like he sells those fitness videos at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And they work.
Yeah.
Right? So he's got that look. He's got that, like, you know, Roadhouse 3 straight to Blockbuster kind of look. But he is a monstrous Muay Thai practitioner.
He is.
Where does he train from? I don't know anything about these fighters, but where does he train?
Oh, he's Brazilian. He trains in Sao Paulo. What's really interesting, though, his opponent, so is also a Muay Thai guy, Piotr Yan, Russian.
It's Peter Yan.
Peter Yan? I thought it was Piotr. No?
No, it's Peter.
Yan, okay. Mm-hmm. He's Russian, which means he doesn't feel pain. What's other problematic about him is he trains at Tiger Muay Thai. Yeah. And if you've ever seen those videos, they're scary. Well, you went out there, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was trained at Tiger Muay Thai.
You ever seen those videos? When you're hitting pads and they hit you with the pad?
Right.
Yeah, they're monstrous. But guess what? Little known fact about Mr. Yan. Training partner to your featherweight in the world. Who's the greatest featherweight in the world to you?
Oh, Jose Aldo.
Absolutely. Yeah, spends time with Aldo.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. He goes to Brazil and trains with him?
And vice versa. So this fight, if you're a fan of Muay Thai, this is going to show you.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be fireworks.
And probably early.
And early. Yeah. I'm going to say Yan by KO. I can't tell you which round, though.
Okay, I'm actually going with Silva de Andrade.
Fair. By KO. We agree it's a KO. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't have much to judge by, but they both got great records, so it's going to be a good fight. I pick Piotr Yan, just for the sake of it.
I also say that they both have great abdomens. This is great. Our next highlight fight that we want to bring to your attention, it's time to get a little ignorant.
Yeah.
Because that's what sells things. Kat Zingano versus Megan Anderson.
Yes. Catherine Zingano.
Kat, how do we frame this conversation? This might be the hottest MILF in MMA versus the hottest older sister in MMA.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I guess we could go there, I suppose.
Just facts.
Well, you know.
This is why they're selling this fight. Well, there's no reason Megan Anderson should actually be fighting Zingano, if not only to feed Zingano. Why do we bring this up? Megan Anderson's story as an Invicta competitor.
Invicta champion.
She went from a fairly large woman who used kickboxing to get herself in shape to a dominant force in Invicta.
Mm-hmm.
You may remember her debut when she went up against Holly Holm.
Right.
Strangely enough, Holly Holm pulled out something we'd never seen before, grappling, and continued to take Megan Anderson down over and over again. This is not a...
Well, I mean, it was really the only thing to do because Agreed. Of Megan Anderson's abnormally large wingspan.
And range. Yeah. And this is not a attack on Holly Holm's grappling, despite what her father in camp thinks we always do here. But I would say that we had never seen that level of takedown from Holm before, which to me is either a comment about Holm's increase in skill or I actually believe it's about Anderson's inability to deal with takedowns. Now, when I couple that with Kat Zingano, who is known as sort of the goddess of ground and pound, I'm pretty sure we know where this fight...
Next to Misha Tate, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I'm pretty sure we know where this fight ends.
And the one thing that I had noticed, because I had actually been paying really close attention to Ms. Zingano's camp... is she has been working almost extensively on judo.
Yes.
So what that tells me is she thinks that she can gain side control fairly easy.
Yes.
With throws.
Yes. And then from there, it's all jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to take her down.
She's the one that suplexed Amanda Nunes, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Knocked her out.
Yes.
And then had that scream. But it's weird because Amanda Nunes also...
Nunes.
Hit her on the head when she was in the ground, causing the concussion that... took her out of the sport for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, right.
Where she had the traumatic brain injury, so it's deep. But I guess everything happens for a reason because at the same time, that brain injury is what led her to kind of get involved in a lot of programs in San Diego that are treating vets with the same injury, and she's doing amazing stuff. So do I think we have unanimous thoughts on this, that this is Kat Zingano's fight?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a different opinion on this?
No, I don't, but Megan's been on a tear, yes, other than the unanimous decision.
Yeah.
TKO tear, so, but I wouldn't sleep on Megan, but then, yeah, I definitely...
Well, like I said, if Megan Anderson can keep Zingano at range, which is possible, because I mean she's 6 feet tall and her wingspan goes to 6'5".
Yeah.
So if she can keep Zingano at range and use that jab, we could be looking at a fairly different fight here.
Correct. And again, if she's
Cat's been out for a while.
Yeah,
right?
She's gun shy.
And so has Megan.
Yeah, if she's gun shy and afraid of getting hit in her face. I think the other thing to really just kind of factor in is LFA and Invicta, in my opinion, seem to have a gap in terms of the breach of the best at those two federations.
Well, LFA has consistently brought in very solid fighters to the UFC.
As has Invicta. No argument there. But I still think as outside leagues, there's still a gap.
Well, LFA isn't really outside. It's at this point, it's kind of the unofficial feeder ground to the UFC.
It's sort of like the unofficial WEC. Mm. But I would just say the best of the best there is still, when they get up into the top 10, there's still a huge gap. One suggestion I might actually make to Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard is to maybe start people at 20 rather than 10. So even though you're a champion at Invicta, you might want to start in the top 20. Because we're not seeing them climb the same way. Right? I can't.
Well, I mean, I guess
I'm struggling to think of somebody.
I mean, it is a combat sport, so everybody grows at a different level.
Agreed.
Like with Macy Barbers, I think that kid is young lady is brutal.
Agreed.
So I mean, it's different.
Yeah. But maybe the exception, as opposed to, again, name me a champion from Invicta, and it's not like they, with the exception obviously of Cyborg, but do they come into the UFC and dominate their division? No, they have a lot of trouble climbing the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my comment on that.
Okay.
We are going to take a little bit of a break to have some water and use the restroom. We'll be right back. I am the Sweet MBA. I am joined here by
the Dr. J.K. Atkins,
as well as
Brett the Estimator.
And everything that you see, hear, and experience is brought to you by Dream Ear, Dream Eye, Dream and Play, and all the other brands that put together our podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Cage Against the Machine, and this is J.K. Atkins. If you like what you're hearing, give us a holla by rating, liking, following. This is Cage Against the Machine. Get at us. True. You guys watched the trailer for Endgame, right?
We're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready for it.
Yeah.
We're ready for the Endgame. Special plug. If you're at home on the weekends and you don't have anything to do, go into your Netflix account. So scroll down to something called The Last Kingdom and give up your weekend.
Man,
the best show on streamed television.
I can't get into it. Bro. I tried and I couldn't.
Oh, that show is
incredible. I tried.
That show is incredible.
Maybe it's just because I'm such a sports junkie. And all of my time is soaked up by mixed martial arts, basketball, and football.
Well, let me ask you this. You're not into Game of Thrones either, are you?
You know what? I saw the first three seasons, but after that, I just kind of fell off.
Stuff with swords doesn't really move you. Like battles.
No, it's not that it doesn't. Like I said, it's just one of those things that consumed by sports.
Fair.
I don't really watch a lot of television.
Fair.
So it's one of those things where it's like, okay. Fair. Well, if basketball, football, or mixed martial arts isn't on, I kind of sit on my hands. And
you know what I actually just got around to? What is it?
Fight World?
Fight World, yeah.
Oh, my.
The Senegal one, though?
Dude.
They didn't even show the winner at the end of it. It was
that's
so
what
invested
kills you,
in it.
Makes you
I was like, what the hell?
Did you see the Mexican boxing one?
No, I only saw the Muay Thai one.
Dude, watch the Mexican boxing.
Yeah?
Change everything.
Okay.
And there's certain people we train with. Where you're like,
I just
no
love the.
So good.
I love the mysticalism of the Senegalese.
Yeah.
Quit your line here for watch yourself.
And you know all the dancing.
No.
Fight World. Frank Grillo. It's on Netflix where he goes to a different fight martial arts school in a different part of the world and trains with them, and then talks about the spirituality that's trained there.
Interesting.
So he goes to Mexico City. And I think a place called Texco, and where he's learning Mexican boxing. And all then he'll go and he learns Muay Thai with these kids. Mm. Then he goes to Senegal and learns their version of MMA.
Hmm. But the Senegal, there's like witch doctors involved and dancing competition.
Bro, I so thought of you.
It was like a dance battle before.
That sounds very Senegalese.
Yeah, it was ill. And then the final one is he goes to Israel and does Krav Maga.
Yeah.
And it's ill. And then there's a guy down there who trains all these like Palestinian Israeli kids.
Interesting.
Watching. Brilliant. Anyways, we are back. UFC 231. 231? 232. Is this 232?
This is 232.
Yeah. They skipped 232. That's right. They canceled it because nobody wants to see that.
No, they canceled 233.
Nobody wanted to see it. Nobody wants to see that.
Well.
Did you want to see that? Were you excited?
What was 233? I'm missing something.
Henry Cejudo and TJ Dillashaw.
They didn't cancel it, actually.
They just moved them.
They just moved it to a fight night, which is going to be the first event. They
wanted on ESPN.
They wanted to have a championship event
to see you.
On ESPN.
Those guys are like just two dueling, like, oh, man, nobody wants to see that. I didn't know nobody wants to see that. Anyways, moving on. Our first fight on the main card. Chad, I made money by falling down for Voldemort Mendez versus Alexander the Great Volkanovski. That's not how you say it, but I tried. Now, the well-educated African is going to correct my pronunciation of the Greek name.
Volkanovski.
Thank you. This is the second fight back for Chad Mendez after a 2-year suspension.
Mm-hmm.
He will be facing New Zealand's Auckland City Kickboxing's own Alex. I have an active theory after what I saw last week that one of the main skills that they train at City Kickboxing, and I'm going to go see when I go down there in March, is that they really rely on a lot of their conditioning in the same way that the scrap pack relied on their chin.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of City Kickboxers rely on conditioning of their body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw that with Dan Hooker where he didn't know he was knocked out yet. I wonder if Alex is going to try that against Mendez, and that worries me. We saw that didn't work against Barbosa. If Volkanovski keeps counting on countering the right hand of Chad Mendez, I think he's going to get ended quickly. I don't think you counter that right hand. I think if he's able to keep up pressure and uses the slips and then follows up with sprawls, mm-hmm. he can wear down Mendez and he'll finish him. Given the politics of these training camps, I think it's Alex by decision. Thoughts?
As you know, I am always fearful when you put a fighter of Volkanovski's caliber, or in this case, I hate to say this, but lack thereof, on this grand a stage this soon. I am always
too much, too soon.
Leery of that. I think it's too much too soon.
Got it.
I am going to take Mendez by decision. I do not think he will finish him.
Okay, yeah.
But I do think that sometimes it's the deer in headlights effect.
Experience.
It matters. I'm sorry, it matters.
Got it.
And I think it's gonna matter in this fight.
Alexander's been finishing, right?
Yes, he has. But he's never fought anybody of this caliber.
Right. At some point, they got rise up to that occasion, right?
True.
By the situation.
True.
I think Alexander's going to pull it off. I think Chad's in the lull right now. Hmm. He's been knocked out a couple times with Frankie Edgar. That was
3 years ago, though.
I know, but yeah, he had a 2-year suspension.
Correct.
Yeah, so he's probably got some ring rust there. I just don't know if Chad's going to.
His last fight, his first fight back, he was dominant though.
Oh yeah, oh,
he
Miles
he,
Jury.
Yeah. Oh, Miles Jury. Okay.
Yeah, he murdered Jury.
Okay. Well. Yeah.
As most people do.
Yeah.
I think Alexander's going to come up on top.
Fair. Moving on to our next fight.
Dun, dun, dun.
I want to say a lot of things about one of these fighters, but I don't want you to think that I'm being prejudiced or not. But has nobody really commented on the fact that this brother looks like Torbjorn from Overwatch?
Well, I don't play Overwatch, so I have no idea who that is.
Okay, he looks like one of the dwarves from The Hobbit. We're just going to be honest about it. He looks like a light-skinned orc,
man.
If we're honest about it. How do you say his first name, JK?
That is Aleer Latifi.
Aleer Latifi versus Corey Overtime Anderson, who used to have the single worst name in MMA. 25-8, 3-6-6.
That was his fight name?
Yeah, it was at one point. 25-8. Beast in 25-8.
Prison number?
His name was Beast in 25-8.
You know how there's 24-7? He was 25-8.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Say, what is that? Your prison
number? That's why he switched to overtime.
That, exactly. Yeah. You turned into the ugly. What is that, boy? Your prison number? What is that? Your game? You stop that. We don't do no Tekashi around here. So is this what we're going to do, Mick Maynard? Is this what we're going to do, Sean Shelby? Ari Emanuel, is this what we're going to do the rest of the year? We're going to circle around with the same four guys in the light heavyweight division between two camps. Are you bored yet?
Ooh.
JK's bored.
Ooh.
I know I'm bored.
Ooh.
Double D's bored.
Ooh.
Are you bored yet? I know you're bored, Fred. Gustafsson, Manwa, Latifi, all vying for the light heavyweight championship while training together. Anderson staying at the 5-6 range while being outstruck by power punchers. We're going to keep doing this so he can just get knocked out by Manwa or out footworked by Gustafsson. Do I think Latifi can out-wrestle Anderson? No. But neither does Anderson. So he's counting on it. And when he shoots, Latifi will counter with, guess what?
An uppercut.
And knock him out. Latifi by KO. This is kind of generic, though. This is kind of generic, ladies and gentlemen. This is generic in the sense that this match is circling the same guys at the 5-10 range, and we need new blood. Who do we need in light heavyweight? Thiago Santos. Okay.
Well, Fats. I mean, the thing is this. I mean, we can complain about the revolving door, if you will, all we want, right? Mm-hmm. But it's up to the fighters to step their game up.
Yes.
So the fighters who are below these guys needs to show and prove. I mean, it's really just that simple. They call the UFC the ultimate proving ground for a reason.
That was the ultimate fighting championship.
No, that's the nickname.
Got it. Is that like a new UPG?
You don't,
UFC?
You don't,
is it?
You don't remember?
No,
they say the like, UFC is the ultimate.
Is it kind of like
ground?
McDonald's and Arby's? There's like a
no.
Fred, who do you think will win? I don't even
y'all
know
see
if I
what
can
I
use
deal
that word.
With. Y'all see what I
think,
deal
I
with?
I think
man.
This fight has the chance to be the barn burner of the
really?
Card. I think
tell
so.
Tell me more. I'm intrigued.
I'm just how wild the both are.
I'm intrigued.
You guys got a point on the uppercut, but just how wild these fighters are. It could be all over the place, you know? That's how I foresee it.
See, this is why we have Fred here. He adds intrigue.
Yeah.
Look how sharp Corey Anderson's nipples are.
Yo, very good point.
Wow.
Very good point. Okay, winner.
That's why UFC changed the background.
The winner has to let go of their beard. This is a no beards contest.
What is this madness I am witnessing right now? What is this?
Hey.
See, Cage.
Aaliyah
Cage
better
cut.
Be careful.
Cage
take
cut.
Down
I go away for one up. Show. I am away for one show. And do you guys see the madness that ensues? That is why I am back. I have to add some sanity.
Nobody was hurt taping this episode.
No.
But when Corey Anderson goes for that double leg, he's going to cut Latifi's chest with his nipples. And he will be hurt.
I got nothing to say. I'm just, let's move on.
We're moving on to a fight that actually I can get behind. We have Carlos the Natural Born Killer versus Michael Maverick Chiesa. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
Look what we have here. Condit. Second post-retirement fight against a new member of the welterweight division. A good friend of mine by the name of Dr. J.K. Atkins says, anytime you start hinting about the word retired, you probably already are retired.
Exactly. Okay.
This is a really interesting story. Chiesa, if you haven't remembered, is deeply motivated by the loss of his father when he fights. And he carries that story. Carlos Condit, on the other hand, a lot of people do not know his father is a huge political operative. And was responsible for electing Barack Obama. And he has a close relationship and started a lot of coalitions between Chicano Americans and African Americans in politics. Mm-hmm. So they have the father thing there. Carlos Condit also has, in my opinion, the best tattoo in all of MMA.
okay, do I really have to do this again? Do I have to do this again?
Can I clarify something
to
you?
Stop talking about tattoos. If you are not about the brotherhood, if you are not down with us.
You sure you don't have like one on your back?
No, you cannot sit up here and criticize somebody's tattoos. I don't care if it's positive or
Can
negative.
Can I ask you a question?
Leave your opinions to yourself if you're not a part of the brotherhood. Stop it.
Are your tattoos in white?
Say what?
Are your tattoos in white ink?
Hell no.
So you can't actually prove that you have tattoos.
Actually, I can.
I'm not going there.
Okay.
No one can actually see see your tattoos. Now, I can
have. Then you shouldn't have said it.
I can have opinions on things. And my non-tattoo bearing self.
This is how it starts.
Let me do the politically correct college professor nonsense he wants me to do. If I were to go and get a tattoo myself, I'd want mine to look like Carlos Condit's.
Actually, that is not what I would want. I just want you to stop altogether. That's what the hell I want. Stop altogether.
This is a fairly intriguing fight.
It's like saying that because we don't have muscles, we can't say they have nice abs.
No, that has nothing to do with it. No. Stop. Just stop, please.
Are you saying that? Oh, see, I'm not even gonna go there on this show. I'm gonna get you in the car. All right. We know that Chiesa is not a match for Carlos Condit's hands. Is that for debate? Do we think that he can handle the kickboxing? No. Okay. I don't think Chiesa has a match for anybody at lightweight's hands, period. Much less welterweight. But I don't think Condit is a match for Chiesa's takedowns and wrestling pressure. So the wild card to me is Condit's jiu-jitsu. I do think Chiesa will get the takedown. The question is what happens afterwards. I see Condit pulling a really sneaky submission out in the third. Arguments? Agreements? Beef?
Yeah, I mean, Carlos has been there with wrestlers, though, right? So
yeah.
GSP.
Yes.
So he's got that experience. I don't think Michael Chiesa has the wrestling experience to take down Carlos. Carlos can mix it up a lot. I know you guys got a point about, you know, the retirement in the back of the mind, but Carlos came back on a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got Carlos winning by a head kick.
He also has a sharp left nipple. Thanks for pointing. Thank you for pointing that out.
You gotta.
It opens a wrap.
We got nipples, so we can say we have a thing on that,
wait,
right?
No, according to him.
Do you?
According to him, if you don't have his nipples, you can't speak on it.
Oh, Lord. See what I go through.
Right?
Do you guys see what I go through? See, this is why I am here, to add sanity to this madness. Listen, I will never pick a fighter
based off his nipples.
Good policy.
Yeah, considering that I'm not paying that kind of attention that you guys are,
right.
I'm gonna leave that to y'all.
It's the white background.
Leave that to y'all. Don't try to blame it on the damn background.
Maybe it's cold in the room.
See what I mean?
The photo shoot.
See what I mean? Okay, listen. I am never going to pick a fighter who has already retired and then unretired. I'm never gonna do that. And I won't do that here. I am gonna take Chiesa by decision.
Fair.
If Condit would have never gone on record and told everybody, hey, I am thinking about retirement, because to me, it says that your head is in other places. And I'm not saying that that is a bad thing, but I am saying that is a toxic thing when it comes to combat sports or any sport for that matter.
Agreed.
You cannot come into any type of sporting event, if you are a part of sports in any way, it doesn't matter what sport it is. The very second you think about stopping to compete, you're already done.
One of the things that I've also heard from some unnamed sources is that saying you're retired is a great way to pause the USADA pool. It's also a way, if you have an agreement where your camp gets part of your purse and your sponsorship, it pauses that as well.
Then go ahead and file the retirement papers.
Right. I'm just saying that some of these languages about that.
Because I'm gonna tell you this right now. If you if I was in the U.S. Anti-Doping Association office, there's no way you could get me to stop testing you until I see the retirement
papers. We need to get you that job. It's not about making you a judge anymore. We need to get you into USADA.
Well, that might be very bad for people.
I can actually get you John. I can get you John Jones sample if we just go out to third and pollute. we're gonna take another break. I am Sweet NBA. I'm joined by
Fred the Estimator,
as well as
Dr. J.K. Atkins,
and the man behind the eye over there is Double D, the Dream Ear himself. And we'll be right back.
Holla at your boy.
Or your girl.
This is Tyson Griffin.
Sean Bunch.
Myron the Hitman Smith.
Jordan the Juggernaut Powell.
Mauricio Alonso. Shout out to Cage Against the Machine, MMA Podcast, MMA Fantasy League for you.
You Google them right now, because I'm about to Google them.
So while we're on the break, what we learned is that JK will not help design my tattoo. Because he's a hater.
I am a hater. It's true.
So we are up to our co-main event of the evening.
Oh, boy.
You have to really be special about this. Can we talk about for a minute how terrible the UFC's new website is?
Oh, it's horrendous.
We made many offers.
Who did it and why?
We made many offers to improve your online presence, Mr. Dana White. And this is what you do? Look at these pictures.
Shame, shame,
shame. Shame on you. So let me ask you this. We are going to have a fight between Chris Justino Cyborg.
That's Christian Cyborg Justino.
And Amanda the Lioness Nunes.
Very good.
Cyborg is the featherweight champion, correct?
That is correct.
Why is she listed at number 11?
That would have been her ranking at 135, I think. But then why is the number 14
Thank
rank
you.
On
Thank
Amanda
you, sir.
Nunes?
Thank you, good sir. Yeah, one versus one. This is called a super fight. You may have seen it recently. It happened a couple months ago when Daniel Cormier fought Miocic and took the belt. We are going to see basically the women's heavyweight division, essentially which we call the featherweight, versus the women's
135,
the bantamweight, which I would call maybe the women's light heavyweight. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a very close to home kind of conversation. So I want to first shout out some people before I start. Shout out to Mitch. Mitch hangs out with us and watches fights, and he asked me a question many months ago when this fight was booked. He says, we were at Trader Joe's, and he says, Sweet, can Amanda Nunes beat Cyborg? Can. I'm not the smartest man, but I hang out with a PhD. Can means the ability to. Nunes can. There's always a possibility.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Cyborg for a minute. Her dominance has come against really freestyle fighters, wrestlers with a little bit of boxing, MMA technicians. Her problems are always against elite boxers and really good Muay Thai fighters. Some of the opportunities for Amanda, then, are based on accuracy, volume, and range. Most importantly, Cyborg's danger is created from her hooks, her side knees, and her roundhouses. She swings in an arc in a circle. You can see it as referenced by one of her most influential teachers, a guy by the name of Wanderlei Silva. This also means she's exactly the same weaknesses as Wanderlei. Long-range strikes coupled with speed. Wanderlei's losses all came from orthodox boxing, the right cross.
What I find interesting about that is she trains her boxing with Jason Perillo.
Yes.
So I'm trying to
add another element, though.
I'm trying to figure out why that is after all of this time.
He taught her accuracy. I've heard the same thing over and over again. Bisping, RDA,
Tito Ortiz, I think.
Tito.
Yeah.
BJ Penn.
BJ Penn. And now who's going up against my boy for the 185? Kelvin Gastelum. All talk about Jason Perillo's ability to focus and get your accuracy. To learn how to, when you throw every time it lands. And we saw that with Bisping versus Luke Rockhold. Nunes has really one tool to fight Cyborg and win. But the problem is, here's the catch. Noon's losses in Evicta came from Sarah and Alexis. These are Muay Thai practitioners who are a product of Combat Sports Academy in Pleasanton, California, a local gym that we love. Shout out to Kieran. We F's with you. In fact, CSA has a trade association with a gym up in Sacramento by the name of Alpha Male. CSA sends its fighters who need to learn elite striking down there. Alpha gets the strikers who need wrestling. Shout out to my boy Hector. I see you training hard up at Alpha Male. Furthermore, Amanda's KO loss to Kat was due to the fact that when Kat was at Black House under Anderson at the time. So, things to think about. Is Cyborg aware of this hole in Noon's game?
In fairness, you're talking about a hole that existed 4 years ago. Yes. She is not, Amanda Nunes is not the same fighter then that she is now.
No.
So, and I want to point out, and I want to make sure that I am clear here. Amanda Nunes is the most skilled fighter that Christiane Justino will ever face in her career.
I cannot agree with you more.
So, let's make sure that we understand that Amanda Nunes is not some fly-by-night, once-in-a-lifetime, fly-by-a-seat-of-your-pants kind of fighter. This woman is fully skilled. We're talking about a great kickboxer with a black belt with a black belt in jiu-jitsu and a brown belt in judo. Yep. Like, this woman is no joke. She is for real.
No, not at all. Now, let me ask you this. Is this the best women's MMA fight we will ever see to date?
On paper, it is. We'll have to see how it turns out.
Okay.
But on paper, absolutely.
We know, and no disrespect, but we know that the people that Cyborg has faced have not been of the level of competition she is.
No.
Has Nunes faced equally matched people? No.
I would say she has. She has fought. She has fought Shevchenko.
Yeah.
She has fought. She has fought Zingano.
Yeah.
But not as big as Cyborg, though.
Not
right?
as big, but we're talking about skill.
The shape. Yeah. Okay. So those two names are really important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And those are decisions too with Valentina.
Yes.
Okay.
So when she's equally matched, Nunes can't finish though. Would we agree?
Well, I don't know if the word can't applies. We'll just
has
say
not.
That she has not.
Has not.
Has not.
She lost to Kat. She was finished by Kat, and she got a very close decision to Shevchenko that I felt Shevchenko won.
But again,
yeah.
those two fights were a long time ago.
Agreed.
And she is not the same fighter she is now.
I'm just wondering, like, how do you train for that? So clearly, I think these guys are familiar. For me, I'm really conflicted because I like both of these fighters for different reasons. Cyborg opened the door, but Cyborg also supports our show.
Yeah.
Okay?
Big shout out to Christiane Justino, by the way.
So I'm not dissing anybody who rides for me. Nunes, on the other hand, trains under
American top team.
Dean Thomas. I mean, I love that guy.
Well, actually, Matt Brown.
Matt Brown, true. Yes.
Matt Brown.
But I could take or leave Matt Brown. I could take or leave AT&T until your supporters stop shooting up schools. But I'm a big fan of Amanda Nunes. I'm a big fan of her girlfriend. This is a hard one, but I think this is really what women's MMA needed, actually. We really needed to see this fight, to see who's who. I'm trying to figure out the equivalent of the inflection point for MMA when things started to change recently. And let me give you some touch points in the past of what I've brought up, what I thought were touch points. When Randy Couture and Chuck went at it.
Okay.
You saw what a real high-level wrestler could do to somebody who got nasty hands.
Right.
And when he came, and when somebody who got really trained their hands again when he came back and took that belt. That was a moment. When Anderson took the belt from Rich Franklin, you understood what high-level striking could look like, right? Mm-hmm. These are transformation points.
Okay.
When Ronda appeared, right? And you saw a woman use judo and jiu-jitsu to viciously beat up somebody as bad as a man could. And it leveled the playing field. So I feel like for this, I'm trying to find that moment. Who are the... This right here might be the female equivalent of Nurmagomedov versus Voldemort. Without the fanfare.
Minus the hostility.
Sure. Without the hostility and the showmanship.
Yeah. Without the hostility. Yeah.
Except that they're both strikers. So I can't find the equivalent.
Go ahead. No, it's okay.
I was just going to point out that Amanda's finding success in her striking, but I think because she realizes nobody can match
her tenacity or
grappling and stuff like that. I don't think she's gonna run into a wall with Chris Cyborg. I think she's gonna realize someone's gonna match her. Like,
yeah.
Who did Amanda fight last? Was Misha Tate? Was it Misha Tate?
No, it was What's her name? She is Rocky.
Raquel Pennington.
Raquel. Yeah. Raquel okay. Pennington. Yeah. So then it's just she's just been blasting everybody with straight punches.
Yeah.
She's not gonna do that with Chris. I don't think.
No, she will not do that with Christian. But what I anticipate her game plan will be is to actually use her judo to get Justino on the ground.
She can grab her though, right?
She can.
Okay.
She can.
Yeah.
See the difference is, and I think where you're going to see the difference is, I'm pretty sure that Christian is probably going to try to start off with boxing and finish those combinations with her right hand and never kick.
Yeah.
Never kick. Because I don't have to tell you, Fred, you're a high-level jiu-jitsu player. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing that a judo practitioner is going to do when you kick?
Mm-hmm. Take advantage of that.
Exactly.
Dumpy.
So the one thing I know for sure is, well, two things I know for sure. Christian Justino is the better striker.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Amanda Nunes is the better grappler.
Mm. Oh.
So the question of this fight is going to be who has the combination of skills that can take advantage of their opponent's weakness.
So who do you think it is?
Oh, boy. I stewed over this. I actually stayed up watching fights before this podcast till about 6 a.m.
Six in the morning.
So I went back and I watched, just because I wanted to see what the progression was of both fighters. I watched the last 10 fights of both ladies.
Okay.
And what I found is...
analytics, baby.
Christian Justino is the same fighter now that she was in 2005.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's just accurate.
Yeah.
She hasn't evolved. No.
Amanda Nunes is the epitome of an ever-changing landscape in mixed martial arts. And I think that is going to be the difference in this fight. I am going to reluctantly take Amanda Nunes to win this fight by submission. Reluctantly. But I can't be... I will interject that I would not be surprised if Justino knocks Nunes out.
I will say that every time a fighter from Combat Sports Academy out of Pleasanton has faced against Nunes, she has been crippled. I think Cyborg has got her number, but it's going to be a 5-round bar burner. That's my opinion.
Okay.
I picked Chris because I didn't do enough studying, but listening to JK break it down, studying everything, I'm hoping I hope that happens, you know?
You're really good at this, JK. You should start a podcast.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't know how to listen to UFC or watch UFC, I would listen to you, and then I'd know what to
look
for.
You know what's funny? I actually had a few people actually tell me that exact same thing, where they were like...
You should start a podcast. You know, it's actually a funny compliment. We were watching... Holloway, I think it was, and Mitch looked at me and Deshaun. He's like, why is he doing that? And I explained what he was doing. And he's like, God, it would be so much easier if you guys actually recorded an episode for this. I was like, sorry. Got a little busy.
What, a watch party?
No, we didn't do the last one.
We were just at the bar, and he was asking about takedown defense. So he was like, why does he do that? I was like, well, he's got to get under his center. And then he was like, And I was explaining it to him. He's like, God, I wish you would just, if you had recorded a podcast, I could have just listened to that and I'd be ready. I was like, oh, you do listen. Cool. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that Durf, you has a podcast about fatherhood?
Hey,
this is
thanks
incredible.
To you guys. Thanks really?
No, we're proud. We are beyond really? Proud. Wow. We should talk offline, see how we can help. Yeah. But I thought that was incredible. Your conversations with your dad are very, you know, off air. You guys know this. I'm a crybaby. I'm very touched by my emotions. I thought those combos were like dope. Like the stuff you're doing with your dad is like inspired, made me want to be a father. So keep it
thanks.
Up.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Cage is in full support. Let us know how we can help.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Absolutely.
We are now at that moment that they call JK
the main event of the evening.
Fighting
out of the blue corner, hailing from Sweden by way of San Diego, California. At 6'5", 205 pounds, he is the mauler, Alexander Gustafsson. And fighting out of the red corner, a man from upstate New York by way of Albuquerque, New Mexico.
By the way of Amsterdam.
He is the former light heavyweight champion of the world, ladies and gentlemen, John Bones Jones.
But they call him Pookie.
Or maybe Ray Ray.
Do you see my shirt, Cage Cousins? Do you see my shirt? Do you see my shirt?
Petty at its finest.
Petty. Hey. Shout out to my wife who said small claims court should really be called petty court. Yeah. Versus Cormier. Johnson versus Cormier. The two guys this guy never beat. Thank you to ESPN for voting Daniel Cormier the MMA fighter of 2018.
Yes.
I am what you would call...
Oh, no. He is the fighter.
Fighter.
He is the... boxing, whatever.
Before we go into this, you should be clear about my position about a couple things. I am what you would call a hater. That means I'm an African-American male with my own opinions.
Oh.
I don't drop my grudges, and I call it like it is. I'm a hater.
Oh.
I am your hater, John Jones.
Oh.
I'm the guy that he always talks about on his Instagram. He's like, well, a lot of my haters. All of us right here. Hi. Hi. That's me.
Wait. Time out. So are you a hater because you tell the truth?
What I have learned in our culture is that when you tell the truth, the instant answer is stop being a hater.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's what I've learned.
Oh.
I'm not sure. Let's see what the new young guys come up with or the young kids come up with.
Oh. So I just thought it was telling the truth about what actually happened.
I'm not going to, you know, here's what I'm going to do.
I didn't know.
I'm going to do one and I'm not going to do the other. I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole and explain why I hate John Jones. I'm going to tell you that I'm deeply conflicted about it, despite him being black. The greatest ever to do it. I need him to lose.
My opinion on John Jones is very much like his personality. It's bipolar.
Mm.
Like when he talks about martial artists, like being a martial artist, it's like, I like him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's coming out of this lull. Oh my God. He's a new person and he's going to be living this martial art life. And then he messes up and I'm like, God, I hate this guy. But then he goes back and starts talking about martial arts. I'm like, okay, I like this guy as a competitor and an athlete again. And then he goes online and puts up some stupid like Instagram.
When he talks, story, it's like, just oh, God, when he talks, guy. I just see how tall is he?
6'4".
A 6'4" dark black version of Kim Kardashian. That's what I hear. I'm like, you guys, you know, I'm really just trying to work on being around the water and the energy, and I just really I want to absorb it and.
Fake, right? It's to you? Okay, yeah.
I know better.
That's why it's bipolar for me.
Okay.
I'm not a big Gustafsson fan either, but I did tell people during that first fight he was going to take him to the promised land, and he did.
He actually, in my opinion, he won that fight.
Thank you very much. But I think when they meet again, Gustafsson will out-technique Jones. While Jones chases the finishes he can't do without PEDs. I am a hater!
Usa.
Gustafsson will be the new champion by decision.
Okay.
You know why the background's all white? That's the only way they could get John Jones to come to the fight.
Wow. Okay, with that being said, Fred, please.
Still the patron saint of the children.
I don't have any evidence to pick other than John Jones to win this fight. Like I don't have any reason to not pick John Jones, despite how much I don't like him as a person, or do like him as a martial artist, or don't like him as a person, or do like him as a martial artist. I don't have any evidence to pick him not to win. So I'm picking John Jones to sneak out a decision.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So with all the jokes, obviously I'm going to be the one to be serious.
Okay. Both have flat nipples, by the way.
That's an omen. That's an omen.
The battle of the flat nipples.
Right. That's a straight omen. You can't win in this sport with flat nipples. Hey, if Gustafsson wins, do you think the food at IKEA will be free for a week?
Okay.
Look at that tattoo, Brett. Look at that dog. It's pretty good. It's pretty defined.
Oh, that's a great tattoo. Oh, my bad. I'm not allowed to talk about tattoos.
Anyway, as I was saying...
Do you like John Jones' tattoo? Wait, you can't talk about it. You don't read the Bible.
Actually, I've read the Bible from front to back.
I said read, not read.
Anyway.
Well, just ganging up on JK. Sorry, JK. Welcome back.
Like I was saying, and in all seriousness, here is my problem. One. If John Jones were to win this fight, I would not actually believe it until 2 weeks later after I see the USADA report. That's first off. But with that being said, the one thing that I have realized, especially when you go around and you talk to a lot of casual fans, and this is both an indictment on those casual fans and the man himself. And I am going to make myself very clear because I never mix my words. So let me say this not only with conviction, but with clarity. John Jones is well liked by the general public because he fits every single stereotype of a black man in America. He fits every single stereotype. The drug using man who has multiple children, who can't seem to get out of his own way to take care of his family properly. He embarrasses both himself and his family and in public. He continuously has this narcissistic view on life in which he feels that he is owed every single thing that he gets without actually earning it. And that is a microcosm of who John Jones is. This is a fact. And I dare somebody to debate me on this. You can debate your mom.
Your mom's. Who's going to win the fight, though?
I am going to take Gustafsson.
Yes!
To win this fight.
Yes!
One. For a couple of reasons. One, we don't know who John Jones is without PEDs.
And when he's got 2-year layoff, he sucks.
We don't know that. But what I do know is Alexander Gustafsson is a former Gold Gloves boxer that can touch up pretty much anybody from light heavyweight to heavyweight at any point in time. I do know that. The one thing that John Jones liked to rely on is his reach. He doesn't have that reach advantage fighting Gustafsson. I know that.
And you know what I know?
What's that?
We got 30 seconds. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is round 0, Cage Against the Machine, UFC what?
232.
I am the Sweet NBA. I'm joined by
the doctor, JK Akins.
As well as
Fred, the nipples. I mean, estimator.
Right. Everything here made by the Dream Air. I'm going to go get a tattoo. I am a John Jones hater. And without further ado,
Juice!